Hi, listeners. I'm Carolina.
And I'm Tessa. And together we are Femme Regard Podcast.
Femme.
We are a show dedicated to educating and entertaining underdeveloped filmmakers and film enthusiasts alike.
We love sharing our experiences as filmmakers, what we've learned and what we've gone through.
And we love bringing on professional industry guests.
We want our listeners to learn from the best and get an honest account of the biz.
So come join the Femme fam and give us a listen every Friday.
Streaming on all the major podcast platforms, including YouTube and our website, FemmeRegard.com. And of course, the Geekscape Network.
Are you a fan of young adult novels?
Have you ever wondered the stories behind the people who wrote your favorite young adult novels?
Then join author Eric J. Brown
and Alyssa Lube of Netflix's The Circle
every other Tuesday on YAOK.
Available on all podcasting apps.
Woo!
Hey everybody, it's Matt Kelly from Geekscape, just jumping in because you're getting a sneak peek of the newest show that has premiered on the network, that is Weird Algorithm, which is hosted by myself and Matthew Milligan of the band Wheatus. Every single week, we break down a song from Weird Al's career, one track at a time, one album at a time, in chronological order. For the first episode, however, it's more about our connection with Al's music and a few of the early demos that made their way onto Dr. Demento before he was offered his record contract. So check this out. It's just a nice little 10-15 minute snippet of the full episode. And if it's something you're into, go find Weird Algorithm on any of your podcasting apps and subscribe, because next week we're diving into the self-titled Weird Album. See what I did there? Because his name is Weird Al and they're called albums. Anyway, enjoy.
Hi, listeners. I'm Carolina.
And I'm Tessa. And together we are Femme Regard Podcast.
Femme.
We are a show dedicated to educating and entertaining underdeveloped filmmakers and film enthusiasts alike.
We love sharing our experiences as filmmakers, what we've learned and what we've gone through.
And we love bringing on professional industry guests.
We want our listeners to learn from the best and get an honest account of the biz.
So come join the Femme fam and give us a listen every Friday.
Streaming on all the major podcast platforms, including YouTube and our website, FemmeRegard.com, and of course, the Geekscape Network.
Are you a fan of young adult novels?
Have you ever wondered the stories behind the people who wrote your favorite young adult novels?
Then join author Eric J. Brown
and Alyssa Lube of Netflix's The Circle
every other Tuesday on YAOK.
Available on all podcasting apps.
Woo!
Everybody, and welcome to the first episode of Weird Algorithm. I'm your host, Matt.
And I am Matthew.
And we are two weird alcoholics who absolutely love Weird Al and everything about him. So we decided, after doing a bunch of different podcasts together, that it was time that we sat down in front of microphones, went through everything Weird Al has ever put out, and put together the definitive rankings of his best songs. Are you ready for this? This is quite the undertaking.
This is great. I'm glad that you said that, because as I was getting ready to start this, I thought, did we agree on a name for this podcast?
Yes.
And I honestly couldn't remember if we had talked about it or not. And then you had your intro ready to go. You're the professional. I am somewhat new at this, but I am going to learn from example, and we're going to dive right in. I'm very excited.
We're going to be fine. Now, for this first episode, we're going to talk about a couple Weird Al songs that I don't think we're actually going to put into the rankings. But
right.
Before we get into that, I want to talk about our discovery of Weird Al, because I'm pretty sure you and I are about the exact same age. I think we have very similar
stories and experiences. So I am curious, what was your first exposure to Weird Al?
Well, I remember I was given Bad Hair Day as a great job gift from graduating the fourth grade.
Nice.
I don't know why I knew it, though. That's one of those interesting things about Al. Like, somebody must have shown me him. And I don't remember who that was, because I don't know where I would have discovered him or heard him in my life, you know, before, like, wanting that, because I asked for that. I was excited about it. But I remember that was a gift, and, man, this could be a long side story, but I'm going to make it as brief as I can. My family growing up had a tradition. Every year, we drove from New York, Long Island, where I grew up, to Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Which is, like, right by me. So
there you go. And it was an extended all of my cousins, aunts, and uncles. It was this massive caravan of cars that went to Hershey Park every summer. And on the way there, we stopped in Lancaster, which is Amish country. And my poor parents, we must have listened to Amish Paradise on repeat for the full 3.5 hour drive. It was all I could. I mean, I would get through more of the CD, but then I just kept going back to the front because I wanted to hear that because I just thought it was so funny.
So Amish Paradise was also my introduction to Al.
Yeah.
I've talked about this on One Hit Thunder before, but I was really late to modern music. Like, for, I would say, about the first 10 years of my life, if my parents weren't listening to it in their car, I wasn't aware that it was music.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't until, like, 1994 or even maybe 95 when my cousin played me Green Day Dookie that I was like, wait, there's other music. Like,
yeah.
there's more out there. So, like, I went head first. I was all in on MTV. I think you guys would have gotten it up in Long Island, but The Box, did you have The Box?
We did, but it was not something, I guess I didn't have access to that channel in my house. I don't even remember. I remembered seeing that at friends' houses, but I was not able to watch it at home for whatever cable programming reason, but it did exist. Yeah.
So I remember I was at that point, I gotten really into grunge music. I'd gotten into that whole scene, but I also really liked the occasional rap song, and Gangster's Paradise was like my shit. I loved that song when I heard it. So I was watching The Box and I heard what I thought was Gangster's Paradise come on. So I ran in to make sure that I caught, you know, one of my favorite videos. And I was like, what is this? And I thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And I was trying to explain it to my parents. And my parents were like, oh, yeah, that's Weird Al Yankovic. Like, they were, like, so well aware of who he was. And I was like, how has no one told me about this? And the first girl, I wouldn't even say we were boyfriend and girlfriend because, you know, you're in fourth grade. It was just like, oh, it's a girl that you're friends with, so you're dating. Her brother had Bad Hair Day, and she made me a cassette of it. And wow. I listened to that cassette repeatedly, and then my cousin gave me all of his albums at Al-Bums and I at this exact same time, it was the perfect time in my life. I was 12 years old, just discovering music during what I would still argue is the greatest decade of music, and a Sam Goody's used CD store opened directly behind my house. Like, 2-minute walk to get to the Sam Goody store.
Yeah.
And I remember I walked in there and they had a VHS tape of every Weird Al music video. And it was like, I needed that tape. Like,
I remember that tape. I don't think I owned that, but I had a friend who did, and a VHS of all of the music videos and stuff. And I remember having a similar sense of, you know, it's so funny going back to this time. Not only was I young, but the internet was, I existed, but it was not a resource like it is now.
No, not at all.
And trying to track down his music. I went to, after Bad Hair Day and I became obsessed, I went to a Sam Goody as well. And found one of those weird compilation releases that came out.
Like,
and
the food album or one of those things?
The food album and the TV album.
Yes.
Which I found out later, Al apparently really hated the fact that those came out. Because that was Scotty Brothers just kind of like trying to make as much money off of his catalog as they possibly could. But that was the next step for me. I wasn't such an album purist back then as I am today.
I for whatever reason, when I discovered Green Day Dookie, I became an album purist for the next 20 plus years of my life.
I mean, I am now, but it took me a while. At that point, I was not. I just was like, whatever I could get my hands on. It didn't occur to me like what it was that I had. It just had his name on it. I was like, yes, that's for me.
I definitely had the food album on cassette. I know that for a fact. I had that cassette. The other big thing that I think about at this time when I discovered Weird Al was, beyond the fact that like everyone in my family knew that this was a thing and no one had told me, was when I got really into Weird Al, my grandfather, who I was always close with, was a musician. He loved Dixieland music and he loved Mel Brooks and Marx Brothers and stuff like that. So he, seeing that I had taken an interest into comedy music, took it upon himself to make me a cassette of music that he thinks was a huge inspiration on Weird Al's music. And I still have this tape, and it's just a combination of Benny Bell, Spike Jones and the City Slickers, and Stan Freberg. And to this day, I can't listen to that stuff and A, not think about my grandfather, but also B, not hear such a clear influence on Weird Al.
It's crazy. Yeah. And I didn't have that. It's funny. Like I came from a pretty unmusical family. Like my parents, we listened to the radio in the car, but my parents were not people with like a record collection or any like, and I'm also the oldest kid of my siblings. So I had a couple of older cousins, but not people I was particularly close with. So it was very like, the discovery process for me was very solitary, and I was kind of figuring this stuff out on my own. I didn't hear Spike Jones or any of those, like, you know, early references you were talking about, like influences on him. Alan Sherman.
That's a big one too. Yeah.
That was way later for me. I went back and I heard that stuff and I was like, wow, that's so interesting. Because to me, especially as a kid and then growing up into my teens, it took me a while before in my mind, Weird Al was just like, where did this guy come from? Like he just stood alone in the world as this bizarre figure. And I did do some diving of my own before that into like Dr. Demento's releases and some of his compilations of the bizarro stuff that he put out. But even in that world, Al was different. Like so much of it was so counterculture and strange. And I grew to really love that. And I still like, I credit it to Al. I'm such a huge fan of outsider music and just the most oddball things you can find. But yeah, it was quite a discovery for me later on to track down those like early references of his.
When we get into next week's episode, which is, you know, kind of more of the official kickoff of the podcast, I mean, I'll throw way more reasons why, but especially that early Al, that 70s into the 80s, early 80s Al, it's so punk rock. It's
for sure it is.
It's so like you said, counterculture, but it's also like just anti everything.
I know. It's amazing. And honestly, even in these songs that we're going to do, which I was really happy that you wanted to start with these because I had not heard these before.
Same.
Apparently, I guess I had heard Take Me Home in passing once, but I vaguely remembered it, but it didn't register really. It is. It's anti everything. It's such a funny thing that he does where it's just like, well, we should get into it song by song, but yeah. I was fascinated to hear the that early voice of his.
Let's dive into the, so the three songs we're looking at are Belvedere Cruisin', Take Me Down, and School Cafeteria.
Oh, Take Me Down. I think I said Take Me Home. Country it's, Roads. That's a whole other thing.
It's all the same thing. So the reason why we picked these three specific songs is when I was doing research on the Weird Al Wiki, these were three songs that were called out as like huge hits on Dr. Demento that really never made their way onto an official Al release.
Yeah.
That may have changed with like that crazy like 20 vinyl release that came out a year or two ago, the Squeeze Box.
So Take Me Down, I'm gonna try really hard to get that right from now on. Take Me Down, I believe, made it onto the Medium Rarities compilation that's in Squeezebox, but the other two I don't think did.
Yeah, and I listened to them a couple times. So we'll start with Belvedere Cruisin', which I'm pretty sure is legitimately his very first song.
Hi, listeners. I'm Carolina.
And I'm Tessa. And together we are Femme Regard Podcast.
Femme.
We are a show dedicated to educating and entertaining underdeveloped filmmakers and film enthusiasts alike.
We love sharing our experiences as filmmakers, what we've learned and what we've gone through.
And we love bringing on professional industry guests.
We want our listeners to learn from the best and get an honest account of the biz.
So come join the Femme Fam and give us a listen every Friday.
Streaming on all the major podcast platforms, including YouTube and our website, FemmeRegard.com. And of course, the Geekscape Network.
Are you a fan of young adult novels?
Have you ever wondered the stories behind the people who wrote your favorite young adult novels?
Then join author Eric J. Brown
and Alyssa Lube of Netflix's The Circle
every other Tuesday on YAOK.
Available on all podcasting apps.
Woo! You're listening to the Geekscape Network.